Okay, so this is going to be a test run here. Tried for about half an hour to get a hold of Steve and to get us all on the same page, but he was having internet problems. So this is kind of a backup to a podcast that we'll do with him tonight. If we can get on the same page, that'll be great. If not, then welcome to the first, and I guess you could call it a pilot episode for Thin Line Believers. Hopefully you can hear me on this. We're working with some cheap equipment here, so this is going to be a low-budget production. So let me adjust this real quick. Okay, so why a podcast? We talked about this before, and you know, for me personally, I'm too ugly for a vlog. For those of you who know me, you'd agree with that. Secondly, our jobs as first responders really don't allow for a whole lot of reading time. I know that to be true. And so we thought, Steve and I thought maybe a podcast would be something that you can listen to when you're on patrol, when you're waiting for a next call, whatever the case may be. But, you know, most importantly, I found, you know, in Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we wanted to give you an opportunity to be able to listen and hear the word of God. And so that's why we wanted to give this podcast a try. If it's something that works out, you know, we will gladly invest in some better equipment to make this something that you can hear a little bit better while you're working. If not, then, you know, that's the will of God, and we'll go back to strictly writing these Bible studies or devotions. So I thought we'd kick it off with the topic of if Christianity became illegal, would there be enough evidence to convict you and me? And we're going to stay on that topic kind of loosely, but anyway, I wanted to start out with reading 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, because I think it describes the world we live in just perfectly right now. And it says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as," and I'm going to butcher this, "Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone." So, you know, I think that describes our world perfectly, and we really don't want to, as Christians, fit that mold, you know. So, you know, are we set apart from the world, or do we blend in? And, you know, I like a term that John Corson used, fast food Christianity. God's not interested in fast food Christianity. He's interested in a relationship. Are we showing that we have a relationship with God? And, you know, I noticed that many who claim Christianity fall into the same prideful sin as the Pharisees did in Jesus' day. It reminded me of Luke chapter 18. Verses 9 through 14, which talks about the Pharisee and the tax collector. And so I'm going to read that real quick. So it says, "To some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And, you know, it should be easy for us as Christians, knowing the Word of God, to be humbled, knowing that we're not saved by our own actions. But that, as in Ephesians here, says in chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So we as Christians there should really be no pride. You know, we should have confidence in who we are because of whose we are. But there should really not be a pride, and that's kind of a bit of a pet peeve of mine, is when you see a Christian who is full of pride and holds themselves higher than those who aren't saved, because they think that their own works have saved them, they're better than others, and that's not how we're supposed to come across as children of God, and we should realize that our salvation came at a price, and the Bible says that we were bought at a price. So, with that in mind, what characteristics should you see in a Christian? Well, you can find them in Galatians chapter 5. And this is a passage that I've heard preached on a lot. And it's because, I mean, these are the fruits of the Spirit. This is what people should see in us, what characteristics we should portray if we, in fact, do have the Holy Spirit in us, and if we do, in fact, have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So really, I mean, those are the characteristics that we should be portraying, and especially love. I mean, in today's day and age, you just don't see people that love others very much. I mean, it's sad that oftentimes, especially when it comes to social media, which I avoid, but social media seems to be a platform for people to sit behind their desk or behind their keyboard or their phone and say all kinds of vile things. And many of those are Christians just beating people over the head with the Bible. This book is not meant to hurt. It's meant to save. You know, Jesus came to not to make bad people good, to make dead people alive. So, you know, on the flip side, in the same chapter of Galatians, it talks about the characteristics of somebody who lives by the flesh and not by the Spirit. And you can find that in verses 19 through 21, which says the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, that's a big one, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's not because, you know, a Christian doesn't mess up. That's people living in this lifestyle. I can tell you that for a fact, if you understand the price that was paid for you and I, if we understand that our salvation came at an incredible price and an incredible amount of love, then these acts of the flesh are going to be things that there's no desire for you to do. If you've got the love of Jesus Christ in you, you want to share that love with others, and that's where you start to see this fruit of the Spirit, and that's how you know the Spirit's in you. You don't want to divulge in the things that you used to. You know, you don't want to live a life of drunkenness or hatred or envy, but you want to live a life of love, joy, and peace, and you want to be kind to others. I mean, these are just characteristics that you're going to see. But it takes somebody fully seeking a relationship with God who gave it all and wants to save us and wanted to save us. So that's Christianity. So I have it here in my notes, just an important bullet point for me to really drive home is love one another. And I'll get to a verse on that here a little bit later, but kind of along these lines, sharing the gospel with others, we're not called to point out the sin of non-believers. We're not called to walk around, and as I said, beating people over the head with the Bible, you know, telling them how great of sinners they are. And granted, sometimes that's one way for people to understand and to be called into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ is by their sin, or more accurately, I guess, the cost of sin. But it's not necessarily going to win hearts for the kingdom of God. And so going back to the Pharisee and the tax collector, I don't believe that Pharisees won a whole lot of hearts for the kingdom, but instead they beat people over the head and told them how terrible they were if they weren't obeying the law down to the letter, when what we really needed all along and what Jesus gave us was grace. And so really, I believe we need to be spreading the gospel, which is the good news. And what is the good news? It's that Jesus came to this world and as a sinless man died a criminal death in our place, took our sins upon himself. Essentially, he took every crime we've ever committed, and he paid the ultimate price for it, in essence, as far as eternity is concerned. We're called to love one another and spread that good news. And that's really the good news. It all comes back to the cross of Jesus Christ. And, you know, people are convicted of their sin. They don't necessarily need our help. Yeah, there are cases where someone needs to be corrected. However, I believe that the Holy Spirit does the majority of that. Sometimes the Lord will use us in order to point someone's sins out to them who is saved. But I think the majority of the time, if someone is saved by Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come into them and will convict them of their sins. Not condemn them, but will convict them. And as I said, sometimes the Lord will use someone else to convict us. And that humility comes into that also. Because if we hear someone calling out our sins, you know, that I like the quote from a movie I've seen before that says, if a man calls you a horse the first time, you call him a liar. The second time they call you a horse, you punch him in the mouth. The third time they call you a horse, it might be time to go shopping for a saddle. So I wanted to read a little bit here from the Old Testament, since we focused on the New Testament this whole time. And this is just a little segment out of 2 Samuel. It's chapter 16, verses 5 through 12. And it's David, who basically was chased out of his own kingdom by Absalom, who, a little bit of Game of Thrones here, decided to take over the throne and to kick his dad out. So 2 Samuel, chapter 16, 5 through 12. As King David approached Bahurim, a man from the same clan as Saul's family came out from there. His name was Shimei, son of Gera, and he cursed as he came out. He pelted David and all the king's officials with stones, though all the troops and the special guard were on David's right and left. As he cursed, Shimei said, Get out, you murderer, you scoundrel. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has given the kingdom into the hands of your son Absalom. You have come to ruin because you are a murderer. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. But the king said, What does this have to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? If he is cursing because the Lord said to him, Curse David, who can ask, Why do you do this? David then said to Abishai and all of his officials, My son, my own flesh and blood is trying to kill me. How much more then this Benjamite? Leave him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will look upon my misery and restore me to his covenant blessing instead of his curse today. That's the humility of David there. So David and his men continued along the road while Shimei was going along the hillside opposite him, cursing as he went and throwing stones at him and showering him with dirt. Then the king and all the people with him arrived at their destination exhausted, and there he refreshed himself. So here we see some true humility. David realized that there are times when then the Lord allows people to point out our sin to, as he said, curse him. And, you know, God can use others to reach us, and it's up to us to humble ourselves and not fight back and show true Christianity. You know, I know that Jesus said, turn the other cheek, and there's some subtleties there in the Greek language that we'll talk about at another time. But, you know, the truth is, we're not always called to fight God's battles. God's bigger than us. It'd be pretty foolish of us to think that God needed us to fight his battles. And so I've got here my notes that our job is to love. And so more from Galatians here in chapter 5, verse 14. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so as Christians, I think if Christianity became illegal, what would convict us would have to be our love. And that's huge. The world's full of hatred. You don't have to look far to see that. Watch people driving in traffic. And I'm guilty of this too. Listen to yourself driving in traffic. People cutting you off. And what's the thought in your head? I doubt it's, you know, God bless you. So. Now, I wanted to talk real quick about something kind of funny here. I actually took my kids last weekend to see the new Grinch movie. So full disclosure here, I am a Grinch lover from the time I was a little kid, the old animated version up to the Jim Carrey version. I watched that movie to death when I was a teenager, and then so I of course had to take my kids to see the Grinch last weekend. And you know, the overall premise of the movie is, here's the Grinch who, he's a lonely guy. He didn't have anyone on Christmas. And so, you know, he became bitter and he wanted to get back at the Who's for never including him. And you know, he felt like he was isolated. And so, you know, it's a not an uncommon feeling for people to have. And I think that that isolation creates a lot of depression in people. And that's one of the reasons that we gather in church, is to be a part of the body of Christ and come together as believers. Because we, well, if we're all part of the body, then, you know, I'm probably one of the, you know, lesser parts, an armpit or a foot or something, but hey, the whole body, you know, it needs the foot. It needs a foot to get around like God intended. So, you know, it's good for us to come together and support one another. So anyway, during this movie, and I do recommend it, especially if you have kids, it's actually a Christmas movie. There's caroling about the newborn baby Jesus Christ. I was pretty surprised and pleased at that. And then at the end of the movie, little spoiler alert here, the Grinch gives a toast, and he basically says, to love and kindness. And he says something to the effect of, two things the world, today's world, needs most. And these are two things that Christians should just do naturally, to love one another and show kindness to one another in this hate-filled, evil world. We should really stand out as we've been washed white as snow against a black background of evil in this world. It's so uncommon to see love and kindness today that it really shouldn't be difficult to see that we are different. And so hopefully today's podcast doesn't leave you condemned. For some, maybe a little bit convicted. Writing this myself, I feel convicted, because there's so many times when I'll look the other way. I'll, you know, walk past someone without acknowledging the tugging on my heart from the Holy Spirit to do something. And so, you know, I hope that you'll take it the same way, that it's kind of a wake-up call that, you know, we need to be filled daily with the Holy Spirit. There's times when I get up and I say, Lord, fill me up, because, you know, I can't do this on my own. I can't be kind to others on my own. I need, you know, the Holy Spirit to overflow through me to be shown to others. So, you know, we'll close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for our listeners, for this group of people who love you and hunger more for your word. And Lord, we pray that your words be heard today, not mine. I'm just the messenger, and Steve and I are honored that we get to share with others and that we get to be a part of this group. Thank you so much, Lord. We ask that you'll guide each and every listener here, that needs will be met, that you'll show yourself to all of our listeners in amazing ways right at the time when they need you. Amen. Thanks, guys, for listening. We're going to just close with Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5 was, I guess, the book and chapter of the day. And so it seems like a good spot to finish with. So, and this is Paul writing here. It says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So really, just start your day with the Lord, end your day with the Lord, and walk with the Lord. And he'll offer correction. And believe me, people will see a difference. People will see someone who is a Christian. So take care, folks. Let us know if this podcast is beneficial. I'm sure the sound quality is terrible, but you know, we're kind of cheap for something that we weren't sure if it's going to catch on or not. So let us know if you would like us to continue, and we will invest. All right, take care.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.